Why don't we smart people want your email?
We change your email to Antichrist at TrinityFI. But they might guess that one too.
They would guess that one right off. Matthew 18. Yeah, 666 at Trinity FI. Oh, well.
Neo at Trinity FI.
What the hell is that mean?
You don't like that one.
He's going to be on Letterman.
Who's going to be on Letterman?
Neo.
Have I ever offended any of you?
No. Yes.
I've offended you?
Yes.
Have I ever offended you, Gary?
Oh, yeah. I think the first time I met Noah was a couple weeks afterwards. When you said to me, choose this day who you'll serve, I haven't got over you.
Well, the point is that I think that if you're honest, I've offended everyone. By the by your definition of offense. The Greek word for offense is skandalon. And it's a trap. It means a trap, a snare. If you understand that the essence of the gospel, some of the first things that Christ said to his disciples is that if you desire to follow me, you must abandon yourself, take no thought of or about yourself, pick up your cross, accept your death, and those two are summary commands, and then follow me as a result of that. The New Testament's meaning of the word offend is to trap back into self-realization. Now let me ask you, have I ever offended you?
No.
I've made fun of your attempts at self-realization. I've ridiculed them because self-realization by definition is idolatry. It is the origin of sin. That's the meaning of the New Testament. Is that clear to everybody? Verse 3 of chapter 18 of Matthew. Well, let's start in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child. In the Greek, it's the word technon. And it means a child before self-awareness. One in total and complete dependency. 100% dependent. Jesus called this little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted. The word converted there is an interesting word. It means to turn totally away from yourself. To turn from you. To leave you behind. There can't be any conversion if you're still in the picture. You can fall and go back and forth, but you can't be converted until there is a turning away from yourself. Except you be converted and become as that little child. Now, the becoming assumes there will be something necessary for it to transpire. In other words, becoming like the little child is an instant. Converting is an instant. Becoming is something has to transpire. Well, the becoming is deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper turning from self, including all the automatic aspects of yourself. The things that are your emotional responses. Your anger. What have you ever thought about anger? Anger is the external form of righteousness. Do you understand that?
That's self-righteousness.
Self-righteousness. And it normally comes with people who have conned themselves into high self-esteem. Does that sound familiar to any of you? And I use the word con on purpose. The major emphasis in our public schools is to increase the self-esteem of the students. That's fine for a while. It's a childish thing. But as you know, and we've talked about many times, the place where there is the highest self-esteem in the world as a population group is the prisoners on death row. Because they've conned themselves, knowing they're going to die, they've conned themselves into this self-esteem. Self-esteem, by definition, has righteousness. You're not to have self-esteem or high self-esteem or low self-esteem. You're to have no self-esteem. So what you get mad at, what causes your anger, is the places where you're still having self-esteem, where you haven't become the servant to all. Does that communicate? Self-esteem is self-righteousness. Does it follow? Do you understand? You are to have not high esteem or low esteem. You're to have no esteem of self. You're crucified.
Or the little child.
The little child has no self-esteem or high esteem. But the point of it is, except you be converted, except you turn from self and become as that darling infant, that one without self-awareness, that one that lives in total dependence, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble or empty himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. It's not having some little 3-year-old brat sitting on your lap and saying, become like this guy, totally, completely consumed with self-seeking. But whoso shall offend, scandalizo. Who shall offend, set a snare to return to self-seeking, or self-sneaking, yeah. set a snare to return to self-seeking, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. As you know, that's what they did with the sacrifices that didn't meet the test. If they killed them and cut them open and found that there were impurities inside them, then the carcass and the pieces were laid on a barge. And the barge was fairly large, well, they were first carted to the Dead Sea. The live ones were brought with them. And there was a little pen. And the live ones had some kind of a millstone hung about their neck. This millstone here, the one they're talking about, is the one for the live animals. It's the big one that was used. You know, they had an oxen go around and round and round and round for milling the wheat. Do you get the picture? Can you see why you must hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, yea, and your own lives also, so that those you hate, not the people, but you hate that label, you hate the idea of thinking about anyone like that, because with any one of those labels, that becomes you return in alliance to the value systems. And all of the value systems, every child, every parent in the universe wants the best, the highest self-realization for that child.
Like the role itself is against cross.
That's right. That's
whatever the role is that you step in. Actually, what any role.
Any role
that you step into is against this.
Anything except the emptying and abandonment of yourself is an enemy of the cross of Christ, because you're hardwired for self-realization. So how can you have self-esteem and pick up the cross? It can't be done unless you've exchanged identities and you know who you are. And then if you know who you are, if you have the mind of Christ, it's the ultimate in humility, because He cannot occupy where you are. Now, I don't care, to return to yesteryear, I don't care what meaning you place on the word hate, how much emotional content it has, it's not enough. If you understand that the enemy of the cross, the enemy of the mystery of God, is self-realization. Now you can't take a little kid, 10, 12 years old, and tell him that. Because you have to raise him so that he understands that he has the opportunity to pursue all things, to push every idea, every thought, every concept to the end of time and space itself, so that child will end up knowing the emptiness and futility of all human effort. And there are absolutely no if-onlys and what-ifs in their mind. So that's why there's the child, adolescent, the young man, then the father. Now, that's the Greek view of it. That's the New Testament view. The Old Testament, there were 8 stages, which I'm not going to go into because it's... But no matter where you are on that chart, you must be converted, turn, leave all of you behind, but you can't leave all of you behind if some of you wants to do something else. Do you understand that? It's axiomatic. It's tautological. I love those words.
It's self-sneaking.
It's self-sneaking.
Yeah.
Now, can you understand why Abraham had to leave first his land, then his people, then his kindred? And so do you. Did I make it clear, or is there some shadow in you? Is there any shadows that you of not understanding what I've said, or any discussions or any arguments about what I've said? Anybody want to discuss meanings of words?
It's perfect, because it's like a spiritual journey. His was like a geographical. He actually went from point A to point B, and we have to do that too.
And he experienced just as the people of Israel did in their escape from Egypt. He had his Passover out of Babylon, out of the land. We are all... I don't want to go through that again. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. I didn't make that up. And if you offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it would be better for you that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were buried in the depth of the sea. That means you're a failed sacrifice. You failed to present your body as the living sacrifice.
To offend means to entice somebody back into self.
Right.
In whatever way.
And there's all kinds of shiny little bait. Positive and negative. It doesn't matter. Now, Let this sink into you. This is the first principle of Christianity. But if you haven't accepted that, if that hasn't apprehended you, if you're still trying to use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed, then you're a fool. Now, I'm certain that everybody in the universe that names the name of Christ doesn't have to do what we do. But I am also certain that we must be faithful to what we have seen. There's this Lee Grady and I, he's the editor of Charisma Magazine. He and I become buddies. And we exchange emails and stuff. And he's even wanted to do a story on me, but I don't think Strang would ever let him. But he wrote a column in this issue of Charisma. And he visited some of the African countries that are being overrun by Islamic extremists. And it talked about in this one village how he met different people who had their hands cut off, their one arm cut off and the other hand cut off. Oil was thrown on them and they were burned, and they managed to survive. When he got back, he thought it was jet lag because he felt kind of down and out. And then it struck him that he wasn't depressed, it wasn't jet lag. But it was his shame at how the American Christians live compared to what these people are doing. They are doing that for your sake and my sake. They are going through that mind-blowing suffering for our sake, just as what we do is for the entire body's sake. They don't have to understand the mysteries of Leviticus and all the stuff that we study. But they live this simple faith unto death, unto the exclusion of arms and legs and brothers and sisters being killed and burned alive. And I would be the worst heretic in the universe if I wasn't faithful to what I saw for their sake. Do you all understand? That's why I can appreciate, even while we investigate, even while we condemn the fraud, I can appreciate Benny Hinn. Even while I think she's goofy, I can appreciate Tammy Faye Baker. Do you understand? Does that finally get you? Can you see that? I can rejoice because Christ is preached. But I can't rejoice with somebody like Tilton or Gene Ewing because everything in me tells me that they're frauds, total and 100%. I don't believe Benny Hinn's a fraud. I believe he commits fraud, but I believe he believes what he says. I don't believe Tilton ever believed what he said.
You know, when you were talking about Abraham leaving Babylon, it just dawned on me that when it was like when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and they took everybody back to Babylon, it was like they had to start over from the very beginning, just like back to where Abraham started out.
And the same thing happened.
Because otherwise, why not just have the Moabites or somebody take them off someplace? But it was back to that, land that Abraham had to leave because they had forgotten and had.
That was the parable of Babylon, and then we did the same thing in Egypt. It was a parable of the world.
So I'm still for a moment back on roles and what John had said about any role is against the cross. And these words, this list of things that you're to hate, those define the strongest roles.
The source of the roles.
If I say that so-and-so is my wife, what I'm really saying is I'm a husband. And there's all this predefined pressure of everything from birth to death, every bit of society telling you what a husband is. or a son, or, you know.
Can you believe and understand now why I hate the question, what do you do? A Christian can't answer that question. We have no idea what we're going to do or what we're doing.
Basically, I'm talking to you now. That's about all.
Oh, I have fun when, because that's, when I used to go to places, that's what everybody asked me. What do you do?
In Spanish, they have a great phrase. You say, when you go and say to somebody, what are you doing, or how's it going, or what's happening, they say, aquí no más, I'm just here.
But do you see the strength? These are the red words.
Let me return to yester morn for a moment.
Who said, oh boy?
Oh boy. Oh boy.
What a move, Wade. No, I was talking to Judy about what happened yesterday. And I was saying, I was trying to clarify the word hatred and this and that. She looked at me and she said, that word has been clarified way too much already. It doesn't need clarification. She says, it means what it says.
All right, let me think. Back to saying,
there's the old antagonist. So I thought about it, and I really have come to the place where the word isn't strong enough. And you can put whatever emotional content you want to put on it. And that's still not enough.
That's why I reacted so strong to you.
Yeah. I'm giving you your due.
There's only me.
I forgive you. Yeah, I've done anything to offend you, I accept your condemnation.
No, I believe it or not, I was concerned that I must confess that last evening I was concerned that I had pushed it too far. And so I'm very thankful you said what you did.
Not even close. And this morning I thought, I wouldn't want you to change one bit, and I wouldn't want you to bow to any of my bullshit in any way. I mean, I would be upset if you did that. So, and I know you feel the same to me if I don't be who I am completely. And that's always a struggle from here to confront you and to be what's really going on and not to fall under.
Right.
And that. So, I mean, yesterday was real important for a lot of reasons.
Good.
But the idea of just focusing on hatred, it is the strong word. And that's kind of where I ended up here.
That's why the other word that's used in the scriptures, where it says your carnal mind is enmity against God, that is the strongest hatred that is possible. It means one of you has to die in the fight. It's hatred onto killing the other. And so,
Well, you know, this is the cornerstone of this community, is that East and West, it's as far apart as it can be. I mean, and that's I know what we love about this gospel is it pushes it all the way. Now, do we like the process? Most of the time, no. It hurts, and we don't like it, and offends us, or whatever. Flesh point. But any other way, and we're just watering down so that we're not hurting each other's feelings.
You remember what it says in 2 Corinthians that... Let's go. 2 Corinthians 4 real quick. Or 3 or 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Then we'll quit. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ.
What chapter?
Chapter 2, verse 14. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, both in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The word corrupt there, it means adding water to the wine. It's the same word as one over here, and go to chapter 4 for a minute. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't. Fainting means to quit in your mind. But have renounced it. A better translation is to lose the zeal in your mind. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That, again, it's this technical term that means adding water to the wine for the purposes of commerce, which means adding water to the wine in order to gain more converts or to not push people away. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience openly in the sight of God. That's a biggie. Now, each one of us came from different backgrounds, different pressures, different aspects of life, and every one was exactly perfect as it should be. So that you... Because it says, God has wrought all our works in us. Now, I know Gary well enough, and since we're talking about Gary, I know that Gary felt like a victim when he was small. I think I remember being a victim once in my life. But my point is this, real quickly. All of that stuff that was necessary to bring us to this point, now we can let go. It can all be left behind so we can be what we are intended to be in the mystery of God, fully. Never again worrying about trying to have peace or if there is no peace, or trying to avoid conflicts. And that goes not for just Gary. There's a whole lot of you that were in that position.
The thing that happened with Gary yesterday, I don't think I've ever seen as clearly the despising of the roles between people and friends. It's easy to see when somebody sitting next to you. Easier to see somehow.
Sure. Yeah, that's why we... That's.
It wasn't in the lockdown mode myself. It wasn't happening personally to me at that moment, which it has many, many times. So...
Yeah, that's why what happens, the things that you think you're suffering are going through for somebody else's benefit. That's why it's so vital that it be spoken. Anybody have any response? This makes things black and white. There's no wiggle room.
Yeah, I was thinking about the 17-step. And how I was sitting here just thinking this moment that, you know, this it all sounds new and that I didn't know it, and it started from way back when I was a kid, and because, you know, there's one of the things that I felt like that I lacked was self-esteem, self-realization, because self-realization is unless you know exactly who you are, you know, as a person in the scheme of things, I was thinking. And, you know, self-esteem is good because it helps motivate you to go out and be successful or whatever, or very popular or something like that. And that's my head.
But again, it's not that, you know, we've talked about this before when you were, you and I have talked about it. But the problem is it's as in each case, it's as though it's the first time we heard it. That's what makes the mystery of God, where he says, I shall show you wondrous things. Because the same word, the same thing can be spoken at a different time, and all of a sudden it explodes in meaning, and there's a deeper area that can be repented of so that he can fully reside in his temple, which is you.
Right. And we've said it before, you know, like self-seeking, you know, in other words. But
yeah. Well, remember, just be careful of anger. Anger, again, is just God's way of revealing, you know, your own idiotic righteousness. Everybody understand perfectly?
This thing about hate is that hate is not strong enough. That speaks to me about having zeal and eating these words and knowing it deep down.
Amen.
Hating is self-realization.
If you can, could you? I would like this to be today's thing to be the last word, next
sure.
issue, because it follows the basics. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a good idea.
Anybody else? Miguel, any thoughts? If you've never heard this stuff before, it kind of hurts your brain. All righty, take it, big guy.